You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This one's going back, and that one is gone. Contreras will touch them all. A screamer into the bleachers in left center, and the Cubs have opened up a 5-0 lead.
It's this a long way. Deep to left center field, approaching the wall, and off that wall, and that's gone. Ryan Reynolds clears the deck with a cannonball and puts the anchor down and gives the Pirates a 2-0 lead with his 13th home run.
Oh, looky here.
Ryan Reynolds.
Get out of here. Go, baby.
Gonna have his second home run of the game, and that's a no-doubter. Hits the facade of the second deck. We talk about clearing the deck. Fly ball, left center field. Hernandez back to the wall. It's a three-homer game for Brian Reynolds. Three home runs. 15 on the year. Have yourself a game.
Have yourself a day, Brian Reynolds. Welcome on in, BetQL Daily, right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G with you today on a Thursday. We got some great guests coming up. Talk a lot of NBA as free agency begins this evening. Vaughn Dizel, NBC Sports, is going to join us at 10:20 Eastern. Dan Vesperus, Fantasy NBA Today podcast, joins us in the 11 a.m. Eastern hour. We already got some movement. We'll get to that. But the home runs yesterday, the baseball yesterday, was certainly interesting. Contreras, home run prop hit for Jake Hassan. And then Brian Reynolds, three home runs yesterday. The Pirates center fielder, who could be traded at the trade deadline, could be a long-term piece for the Pirates, but three home runs. We always talk about those two home run shots, or you know, going long, you know, trying to hit something crazy on a prop. I mean, three home runs is a rare feat. Brian Reynolds came in today with 12, ends with 15. He has himself a day yesterday for the Pirates against the Nats. And then, Joe, yesterday in baseball, Paul's Royals not dead in Survivor. They get a win over the Rangers yesterday.
I see that.
Oh, come on.
No, it's going to make for a good Sunday. It's probably going to come down to Sunday for you, right? Who do you have next with Casey?
They have, for some reason, I want to say the Nats. It's not the Nats. I want the Nets.
Well, otherwise, yeah, it's one of those bums. Otherwise, you
Tigers.
Would not have taken
them. Tigers.
Tigers, yeah.
Ooh. Okay. How about Detroit? Big plus money win, plus 175 last night at San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Boy, the Giants can't get it together. You know, on Reynolds, I know Paul was bringing up the point about home run chase. We were talking about that earlier on in the week. And I started thinking about it. Obviously, you think about it when three home runs are in your face. But if you look at some of the projections, the sites that do these daily projections that go in deep on the analytics, Brian Reynolds is up there every day. They think he's going to hit a home run on most days, or he's up there with the big time home run hitters that you normally think of, even up there like with Judge and guys like that. So the metrics love this dude. And I mean, if you can hit three in one day, we don't want to overreact too much, but you can obviously go on a tear over the course of a month. And it's still 500-1 now for home run leader for Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And that had me thinking.
It is an interesting number. I'm looking at some of the numbers you brought up, kind of the metrics on him. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is points to him being a really good player. I mean, his hard hit percentage is up there. I mean, he's good. Mm-hmm. And he could be the best player traded at the deadline. We mentioned Contreras with the home run, probably the best player or best hitter at the deadline that moves. It could be Reynolds. I'm not sure if the Pirates are going to move him or not, because he still has 3 years left. And they could turn a corner here in the next couple of years, but they could also cash him in right now and say, hey, you're probably going to be around 30 when we're good. Let's go get a haul for you right now. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think that's really fascinating with teams like Pittsburgh. So you have so much talent that you have under control for a long period of time, but do they think there's going to be any sort of a window in the next 2 to 3 years? But if you move him, maybe you extend that window on the back end when you're thinking the prime for this roster, the core of it is going to be 3 to 4 years from now. And that fourth year, you obviously have Reynolds gone. So that's really intriguing. I would lean just on the surface. It's tough because they've made an impact right away, but I would lean moving Reynolds.
I would too. Plus he's a center fielder. So maybe by the time they're ready to win, he has to move to a corner anyway. He's a little bit older than he's not 25. He's 27, but that's certainly interesting. We'll pay attention to that. And obviously the trade deadline stuff will impact some of how we feel about these teams. Astros mm-hmm. beat the Mets yesterday, who started to scuffle a little bit here. Joe, the Braves
Alvarez.
Went three back.
Alvarez is the big story there. I carted off. So
how serious is that? Do we know or that? Because that was
I watched
weird
it
collision.
Happen live.
What did you think?
It was like he was out cold for like a good minute or two, like not conscious. Like he was on the ground, face down, not moving. And it didn't look as bad and slow. Like Pena kind of caught him with the hand, like kind of right on the bridge of his nose. But I think as he was going down, he caught an elbow. So he was out cold. But then he got up and he's on his feet and he's arguing with Dusty Baker and the training staff to let him stay in the game. And he's trying to stay in the game. And they're like, dude, you cannot stay in this game. So I read some stuff. He might be back today. Like he's only listed as day to day. And
was he concussed? I mean, that's the question.
Right. That's the thing. He has to go through the protocols. But they were showing him on the broadcast. He's like, no, I'm good. Let me stay in. And obviously, no, dude, you got to get out.
So I just watched it again. It's kind of I feel like Pena got the worst of it. It's kind of
because
like,
Alvarez is about 50 pounds heavier and a foot taller than him.
Like if there can be a glancing blow of a glove to the face, it's kind of a glancing blow of a glove to the face. But I mean, he definitely stayed down for a while, but I just watched it again. After rewatching it, I'm not as surprised to hear, I could be back in the lineup as soon as today.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if it's a week or two either, just to be on the safe side. What do the Astros need these late June games for?
They don't. They're going to win their division. But it's not an injury, right? It's not like he hurt his shoulder or his knee. It's a concussion type of thing. It's
a brain
scare.
Injury.
Yeah, right. But players come back from those faster. I mean, maybe they shouldn't, but they do. Yeah, you have a concussion, you cleared, you come back, and usually you're good to go. Yes, the Astros yesterday win. Verlander was very good yesterday, lowered his ERA to 2.03. We're going to talk about the MVP race later on. But the other thing late last night, Joe, I did stay up to watch a little bit of it. Angels 4, White Sox 1. We mentioned the pitching matchup there was a fun one. Otani's on a run right now. I mean, that his performance on the mound. Well, it's funny, last year – it felt like he was a dynamic offensive player who also pitched, and that made him the MVP. This year, it feels like he's a dynamic pitcher who also hit some home runs, and that makes him an MVP candidate. It's almost like he's two different Shohei Ohtanis last year versus this year, both impactful, but I think of him more as a pitcher this year. That's why I think I've watched him more, been impressed more. He was outrageous last night. What, 11 strikeouts?
Yeah, 11 punchouts last night. How much would voters love that narrative? MVP last year, and this year he's more impressive with the arm. Mm-hmm. And so give him the Cy Young this year.
They would love it.
He's 14-1 right now.
For the Cy.
And that is the fifth favorite, just ahead of this Dylan Cease number. Without him pitching, it's all over the map. It went from 20 down to 14. Now it's back at 17.
No one knows what to do with him. Yeah. Well, everyone else keeps pitching well, right? McClanahan keeps pitching well. Verlander, Manoa. It's tough to piece him in. Yeah, and offensively, he hasn't been bad. I mean, Ohtani this year, 17 homers, 855 OPS. But last year, he had over 30 home runs at the All-Star break. His OPS was near 1,000. Like, he was a hitter last year, star hitter that pitched. This year, it's the opposite.
In that game, we said the storyline from a betting perspective was going to be on the K props, and then they both go over, right? Ohtani was 6.5, Kopech 5.5, and Kopech punched out 6. So both go over. White Sox do next to nothing offensively. And you started to go there. Let's do it because it was one of the games that we were on. Atlanta over Philly, Braves 21-6 this month. 21-5, I'm sorry, 21-5 in the month of June. And then we also talked about Miami, and then we debated, well, do you go first five with the Marlins? Like, well, why even do that? Because Alcantara's going to pitch deep, and he had a complete game. Three runs, only two of those earned, 117 pitches. I've been saying it all year. Thank the good Lord for Avi Garcia with a home run in the ninth to win it.
All year, thank the good Lord.
Oh, how the turntables.
Jake and I tried to tell you early in the season, we were Avi Garcia guys. How did you see the moment last night where Don Mattingly went out in the ninth inning considering taking him out? And Alcantara basically pointed him back to the dugout. Like, I'm not coming out of this game. You go back. It was great. And he finished it.
Phenomenal.
I don't know if it's going to happen. It probably won't. I keep waiting for the Marlins to nudge their way into that mix, right? There's eight teams for six spots in the NL. Doesn't it feel like if anyone else is going to push their way in, it's Miami? I think all the other teams in the NL are bad. Miami's the one. I don't think they're bad. Obviously, they're not good enough. I keep waiting. Yeah. I need them over 77.5, so this is wishful thinking on my part, on the win total. They are seven out of the wild card. They're four back of Philadelphia. Philadelphia sits at 39-37, three out. Then you have Miami. Miami's the next tier. It's like they're stuck in the middle.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the over, because this is a team you've been on since March. Yeah. So seven back. It's a good amount.
Just went on the IL yesterday, too.
I know.
With back tightness.
I just need 78 wins. Is this too much to ask out of Miami? What are they on pace for right now? About 76?
Well, Fangraphs has them at 78.4.
Oh, there we go.
But they also have their playoff chances at 3.6%.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yes. So they can do both. They can hit your over on the win total, but also miss the postseason.
Yeah, which is probably the most likely outcome here. All right, so a lot of fun baseball last night. And now we're waiting. We're going to do a lot of NBA today because a couple great guests. Joe, 6 p.m. tonight starts NBA free agency. We got a lot of opt-out decisions yesterday. Bradley Beal opting out, James Harden opting out, but that seems like what a wink and a nudge that he's back on a long-term deal with the Sixers. But a trade yesterday that actually moved the market a little bit, which is Murray from the Spurs to the Atlanta Hawks for a decent amount of first-round picks, too. Like, they paid for him. So it sets up a young Trae Young, Deontay Murray backcourt, which is interesting. The Hawks are interesting again.
Eastern Conference gets even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that entire roster, and a big part of it has been health with Atlanta, how they popped a couple of years ago. This past season, quite disappointing. But with Trae Young and Murray, you have a healthy Hunter and Collins. Capella grabbing 15 boards of night. Bogdanovich can go on fire. So can Herter from game to game.
Velvet, Kevin Herter, yeah.
Yeah, that's some depth that you can get behind. Now which guy is going to control the action? So, I mean, this is still going to be Trae Young running the offense, right?
I would think so, but Murray's a guy that's triple-double machine, right? He gets 9 assists a game. I mean, they have two point guards basically now. I would imagine the ball's in Murray's hands more, but Hawks, as I look at the odds, Eastern Conference odds at BetMGM, Hawks are 20-1 to win the East, sixth best odds. It's Celtics plus 275, Bucks 3-1, Nets plus 350, which, okay. Heat 6-1, Sixers 6-1, Hawks 20-1. So they're the first up after the first five.
Remember when the NBA was trying to push that tanking's dead? Tanking is not. It is.
Spurs. Not. Spurs about to tank.
Well, you could say they already have. Yeah. Trade DeRozan, trade Murray, they traded Kawhi a few years back. Like, what have they done? Why is Pop going to stay? Maybe he won't, but why would he?
How old is Pop now?
106.
Pop 73 about to preside over a tank?
No. Have you read about this guy that teams are going to start tanking for? By the way, San Antonio's not going to be the only one, because they're saying this dude is the real deal.
Is it next year's draft?
Next year's draft. His name is Victor, I'll mispronounce it, Wembanyama. He plays in the Euro League. He's a 7-2 point forward, is what they call them. Some people that study up these prospects, some are saying he's the best prospect since Zion in 2019. Others are saying you have to go back to LeBron in 2000.
Yeah. When I searched his name here, as you said it, the headline is best prospect since LeBron.
Yeah. So we're just, even though it's still a small chance, there are going to be a lot of teams that are tanking for, I mean, completely change the franchise potentially.
Just to play devil's advocate, and it's your answer, it's Euro or like a, you know, foreign player bias a little bit. What was Darko? I mean, wasn't he, I mean, he was in LeBron's draft, but like.
I hated that pick at the time.
Right. Well, yeah.
I wanted Melo over him.
Questionable pick at the time. But like, was that an upside pick? I guess that was an upside pick where this does not seem like it would be one.
Mm-hmm. The stuff I've read is the ceiling is non-existent. That's what people are writing.
Well, you know what? We've had some obviously good players come in the league. Like, you know, Ja Morant's a really good young player. We haven't had one that's come in that everyone says he's the next guy.
Yeah, really Giannis wasn't that guy. Was he? 14?
No, he developed into it.
Yeah.
Right, but we haven't had the one, like the one, right? LeBron was the one and it worked. Maybe it's time. Maybe this is a once every 20-year thing. Maybe this is the kid. So, we'll see how it plays out over the next year.
I think the last number one pick was Bargnani, right?
From Italy? The Raptors? Yeah.
Outside the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. Joe O, Joe G, we'll continue the NBA discussion with Futures next on the BetQL Network.
These Joes are helping you bet like a pro. It's Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth on BetQL Daily from BetQL.